Welcome to NWR Newscast Episode 3. I'm the host of this evening, Lucas Belitsky. And with me is Zach Miller.
Hoi hoi.
And Andy Gergen.
Hello.
All right, the first thing we're going to go over are the recent Nintendo downloads for the past 2 weeks, which are Gravitronics for WiiWare, Word Searcher for WiiWare, Pinball Pulse for DSiWare, Thorium Wars for DSiWare, Final Fantasy, and then Final Fight 2, both for the Virtual Console. Did you guys play any of them?
No.
Yeah, I downloaded Gravitronics a couple nights ago and played it for maybe 20 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, same here, and I'm actually going to review that game.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it's a decent multiplayer game, but the problem is that the single player is bad, and so is the general implementation of everything, especially the menus.
I kind of liked the general idea of the game. The concept is good, but the implementation, I would agree, is awful. And, well, maybe not. Maybe awful is a strong word, but it's not good. And I didn't have anybody on hand to play multiplayer with, so all I played was about 20 minutes of the single player, and I don't really anticipate going back.
Yeah, it really shines through multiplayer. And from what I thought, the game really reminds me of a mixture of air hockey and that really old board game Crossfire.
Yeah, I could see that.
Crossfire. Yeah, do you guys remember Crossfire?
I do. I remember the commercial even too.
Yeah, that was like one of my favorite games when I was a little kid, and
oh, yeah.
I was so happy. But how everything was said and done, I was just bummed out. It could have been something really awesome.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe they'll release an update and polish off some of the controls, but there's not exactly a strong history of WiiWare games doing that, so I'm not going to get my hopes up.
Yeah, there's actually one WiiWare game that recently got updated, like you said. I think it's Gradius Rebirth.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they added new stuff, which can give us hope, but...
Sure.
But if the game doesn't end up doing well, then I don't think that they're going to bother updating it.
No, I would not imagine they would.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, because the concept really is pretty decent. But the follow-through on that concept is... It's bad across the board, from what I could tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I also heard really great things about Pinball Pulse, which is a DSiWare game from Fuse Games, who made the Metroid Prime pinball game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's more of like a traditional pinball type of board, except with the Greek theme. Since, Zach, I know that you have a DSi amongst us, are you interested in that game?
Well, I didn't play the Mario pinball. I heard bad things, but I really love and still play to this day the Metroid pinball.
Oh, nice.
So I might give that a shot, and I think you said it was only $5.
Yeah, it is $5.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. Thorium Wars for his other DSiWare game, which is supposed to be like this vehicle shooter, and it has really impressive graphics for the DSi. I also heard that it first used to be a retail game, but because of the economy last year, they couldn't find a publisher to make a cartridge out of it, so they had to push it off to DSiWare.
Interesting.
They made some small sacrifices, like getting rid of multiplayer, but leaving pretty much else intact.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I actually learned it through Pixel Talk, which is made by Pixelbit.com, who was founded by a couple of old Nintendo World Report staffers, so you should listen in. It's pretty interesting.
You may know them if you've listened to the previous two episodes of this podcast.
Yeah, you should definitely know Neil, and Nick also joined in on episode 2. Yeah, and the other WiiWare game, Word Searcher, just looks like a lame word search game that you can probably buy at a supermarket for 99 cents, a whole book.
Well, I just love that it's on the Wii and not the DSi.
Yeah, seriously.
It makes so much. Yeah. It must be a graphically intense game.
Oh, no, it's not.
Why have a word puzzle with you on the go at all times when you can play it in the comfort of your own home staring at your TV?
Exactly.
Maybe if you need to cure insomnia or something. Yeah. And the two virtual console games are actually pretty decent. The original Final Fantasy from the NES and Final Fight 2 on the Super Nintendo. Do you guys have any history with those two?
I played Final Fantasy when it was new, when I was real small, a bit younger. And I really liked it back in the day. I haven't gone back to it since then. And I know it's been remade for a couple of different platforms. And I think I may even have at one point owned one of those remakes, but don't anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was pretty much spoiled with the Game Boy Advance remake. So considering how archaic the NES one is, I really can't force myself to go back to that really old style of, like, the magic system and everything.
Have they announced any other Final Fantasy games coming to Virtual Console?
No, but knowing Square Enix, they might bring the other two American ones, Final Fantasy IV and Final Fantasy VI, but obviously they're going to be Final Fantasy II and III, considering how they screwed up the naming convention in North America.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting, to fix it.
Square Enix had always kind of said in the past they weren't interested in releasing their Final Fantasy games on Virtual Console because there's so much money to be made in remaking them for handhelds and other things like that. It's kind of curious to see them change their mind on this, and it really kind of makes you wonder what else they could be bringing to Virtual Console in the future.
Yeah. Well, they released a couple of really old nice games on Virtual Console, like A Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a couple of NX ones, like ActRaiser. ActRaiser was one of my favorite games ever.
I wish they'd put Chrono Trigger on the Virtual Console because I don't want to pay for it on the DS.
Well, you could get it for $20 now.
Well, $20 would still be more expensive than it would be on the Virtual Console.
You know, thinking back to NX's history with Nintendo, I think pretty much everyone I know who was a gamer back in the mid to late 80s got a free copy of Dragon Warrior with their subscription to Nintendo Power.
I seem to recall that as well.
Yeah, it seems to me that might be kind of a cool way to remember that promotion by putting it out on Virtual Console.
Yeah.
But too bad Square Enix isn't that cheap like that.
They like their money.
Well, what company doesn't like money?
There you go.
All right, moving on to new video game releases. The big title is on the Wii is the Wii Fit Plus. Did you guys get a chance to play it yet or not?
Just at E3.
Oh, well, I'm actually reviewing the title and I'm almost done with the review. It just needs to go through an edit or so. And I gave it a really good score. Overall, it's a really nice upgrade, especially to the existing Wii Fit owner, since it's only $20 and you get so much that it's really worth it.
Yeah, I think I probably will get it.
I've never dipped my toe into the Wii Fit. I've been playing the EA Sports Active. I've been playing that end of the Wii Fitness genre. But one of these days, I'm going to try out one of these days, I'm going to try out the Wii Fit games and see what I think. It's tough to convince me that I should be paying $70 to $80 for a balance board at this point.
Yeah.
But I still kind of want to try them.
Yeah, especially how now the only way to get Wii Fit Plus with the balance board is $100, which is $10 more than the regular Wii Fit.
I tell you what, there's a lot of games that I haven't bought yet that are only $50 and $60 that would have to come before a $100 version of Wii Fit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, like one recent game that I saw $20 price drop from $40 to $20 was Spyborgs.
Oh, you're kidding me. That just came out.
Wow.
No, I'm not kidding. Just go to GameStop.com, and I'm not lying.
Oh, my gosh.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of almost want to buy it now that it's only $20.
Yeah. Zach, I heard that you played Dead Space Extraction recently.
I did. I just reviewed it. I think I gave it an 8. I'm too lazy to look on the site right now, but it was a darn good game. If people who like the first Dead Space will love the sequel, or I guess it's prequel, but you know, even if you've never tried it, it's since it is a prequel, you don't really need to have played the original game, but it's very enjoyable, very, very atmospheric, and you know, it's fun to freeze guys and then chop off their limbs.
Zach, did you play Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles?
I own Resident Evil Umbrella. I think I reviewed Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles.
Oh, I love it too. Do they compare well, or are they different? How different are they?
Well, they're different in that, I mean, they're both obviously light gun games, but Resident Evil is more. More of a shooting gallery. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say that it's fair.
Because the Dead Space is very story-driven, so there aren't too many places where you stop and shoot stuff. Whereas in Resident Evil, that's kind of the whole game. The whole point's to get a good score at the end of the level. In Dead Space, your stats are tracked, but I don't think it ultimately matters much. You still unlock stuff either way.
So does it tie together the story well from the original Dead Space?
Yeah, it's what happens to the mining colony, you know, when they first remove the marker from the planet. And then, you know, people start going crazy and the monsters start popping out. And then it kind of, it takes place at the same time as the comic, which is just called Dead Space, which is included in a digital version on this on the game, which is really cool. Because
that's very cool.
It is. You know, like the Metal Gear Solid digital comic on the PSP?
Mm-hmm.
How it's kind of, it's the comic, but it's told with voice acting and the camera moves around, things like that. That's how this comic is on the game, which is awesome. It makes it watchable because the art is awful. I hate the art. But
yeah, it's more generic.
It's generic, but in a very stylized way that I don't like. I'm familiar with that artist. I don't like his work, but the way it's presented in a digital form is more palatable. But then the game also takes place at the same time as the awful, awful, awful movie, Dead Space Downfall. You don't need to watch the movie to get the idea of the plot. Do not do it. It's terrible.
You have warned us well, Zach.
I've heard the graphics on this game are like outstanding, like Mario Galaxy or better kind of quality.
I think that's kind of it's a bad comparison. It's all art direction. It obviously doesn't look as good as the PS3 360 Dead Space, but the developers have really put their hearts and souls into recreating the environments, and they, for the most part, have succeeded. I don't think this game would have worked on a technical level as a free-movement first-person shooter.
Cool.
Yeah, really good-looking game. Great cast of characters and voice actors. They really put their heart into it, and I appreciated that. So give it a shot. If you haven't played it already, go try it out.
Yeah, I'm very interested, and I think you sold the game to me, Zach.
Nice.
Yeah. So the other big game, while it might not be a really popular game, but to retro fans, A Boy and His Blob might have a soft home in their hearts.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm hoping to play it shortly. I was maybe not a big fan, but I put a lot of time into the NES version when I was younger, and it always struck a chord with me. It has a very distinct tone. It's sort of dark, but also very imaginative. And the original NES game had a lot of artificial ways of increasing the difficulty, like limiting the number of jelly beans you have, setting that number at the very beginning of the game, which effectively lets you get to the very end and not be able to complete it because you needed one more jelly bean of a certain flavor. And everything I've read suggests that the new version on Wii does away with a lot of those artificial restrictions.
This game sounds awesome. It involves jelly beans.
Yeah, it's really awesome, and I really love the art direction. While it's not as complex as, say, Muramasa on Wii, I really love how it looks like a real Saturday morning cartoon, and it just looks awesome. Like,
yeah, I like
the
that
environments,
too.
Everything.
It kind of reminds me of Wario Land Shake It.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, one thing what I was disappointing from what I read is that all the control schemes are traditional. Like, there isn't any heavy Wii motions or that kind of stuff involved. However, it's a 2D game, but you cannot use the D-pad. Instead, you have to use the analog stick, which is disappointing in my view.
It is. 2D side-scrollers need to use the D-pad.
Yeah, that doesn't sit well with me, but I'll play it before I judge.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be that detrimental, but yeah, considering how a classic controller is one of the options, and you have the D-pad right there in the primary position.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another famous game, well, some gamers might not like it, but it's a very well-selling game. Well, the original one was Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games. Are any of you guys looking forward to this or not?
No.
Yeah, I'm sort of sick of minigame compilations on a whole.
That's a good way to put it. I like that.
Yeah, like, I have my share of Raving Rabbids. I love the Rabbids, like, the first two or three times. And I really love WarioWare Smooth Moves, but there is a limit.
I would say that I'm at least mildly interested in this game. Not terribly interested, but I wouldn't mind renting it. Give it a shot. I'll tell you what, I have heard a lot of people that you might consider to be the quote-unquote Blue Ocean crowd, folks that I wouldn't consider to be gamers whatsoever. I've heard on two distinct occasions I've had people tell me that they want this game. And that really surprised me because, I mean, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Winter Games doesn't exactly carry the same kind of Blue Ocean cachet as a Wii Fit or a Wii Sports.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah, but it still leverages two very big popular brands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, three if you count the Olympics.
It's the wrong Olympics, though.
Yeah. I even heard that the Canadian version has a little Canadian maple leaf just to make it special.
Really?
Nice.
Yep. Well, it's Vancouver, of course.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so are there any other popular Wii games that you guys want to talk about, or DS games?
Well, TMNT Smash Up came out, and I don't care.
So, do you want to elaborate on that, Zach?
Well, I'm a huge Ninja Turtle fan. I have been since the first, you know, the original comic. And, you know, the whole big deal with Smash Up is that, A, it's supposed to be like Smash Bros., which is good. But also, it is not supposed to be not inherently tied to any particular Ninja Turtle movie, comic, whatever. So in theory, the Ubisoft, or whoever's developing it,
Game Arts,
could have mined a 25-year history of Ninja Turtle characters, but they really only use the characters from the most recent movie. So
And three Rabbids.
I don't want to hear that again. You told me that last night. I don't want to hear it again.
That seems really short-sighted. Like, if you're going to pull from a franchise that has that big of a roster, God, use it. Don't just ignore it like that.
No, not at all. Although I think each character has an alternate skin. I read this on GameFAQs, and I don't know what the alternate skin is, but I can only hope that for at least the Ninja Turtles, the alternate skin is the old Mirage designs.
That would have been awesome, but sadly, I doubt it.
I do too, and that pisses me off.
Yeah, it's really a shame that they couldn't tap into characters like Rocksteady or Krang.
Yeah. Or Leatherhead, you know, some of the original characters too. Karai, they could have done so much more.
Well, it's disappointing, and some games of this generation have been big disappointments. All right. And on to somewhat interesting news. The limited edition Wii Sports Resort bundle came out recently, and it's $60. The difference between a regular Wii Sports Resort is that this one comes with two motion pluses.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, considering how the Wii dropped to $200 a few weeks ago, it's a good way to build up on the holidays.
It is. And Wii Sports Resort's a darn fun game.
And the Wii is pretty much regarded as the best console to own for local multiplayer.
Oh, sure. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this strikes me as a really good idea. I don't know why they didn't do it to begin with, to be honest.
You know, I have to wonder if eventually they'll phase out just the remote and the original Wii Sport, and they'll start packaging the Wii with Wii Sports Resort and a controller with a Wii Motion Plus.
Aren't they already doing that in Europe?
I think I heard that.
Really? I think I heard that they changed the bundle in the UK.
Yeah, because the UK had one interesting case that they had to raise the trading price of the Wii because of how bad the British pound has been losing value.
Boy, you can shock me.
Yeah, and suddenly they dropped the Wii price back to the regular price of what it was before.
Oh.
And they have this bundle, which I think is a Wii, all the regular controllers that come with a Wii Motion Plus, and both the Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort.
Well, I tell you, I was just in London, and the pound is very strong. I spent $50 on lunch.
I hope you at least liked it.
It was Hard Rock Cafe, so sort of.
What's the difference between American Hard Rock Cafe and British Hard Rock Cafe?
I don't think there is too much of a difference. You know, that was the only restaurant we went to where the portions were not abysmally small.
Oh, wow, really?
Like, my wife ordered nachos, and we thought it would be just like, you know, single perch and nachos. No, you could feed an army on these nachos. And I suppose
the only difference would be the metric system.
Yeah, probably. But the other thing was, it was the only place in London, I kid you not, where they gave you free refills.
Oh, wow.
Wow,
that,
really?
That really pissed me off. They gave us ice, too. That was new. I mean, think I'm kidding, but I'm not. And I met Greg Leahy there.
Oh, nice.
And he bought me a Coke, and because we went to a pub. He bought me a Coke, and I was like, here, I don't have any pounds, but here's $2, because I had American money in my wallet, and I'm like, you can light your cigar with this.
Oh, that is just great.
Oh, God.
He's a cool guy. He really is.
So what was his reaction when you gave him the two American dollars?
He kind of politely declined. I can't use that. No, that was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of controllers, Nintendo recently announced the price of the Black Remote and the Black Nunchuck. The Black Wii Remote is going to be bundled with the Black Motion Plus for $50, and the Nunchuck, like the regular one, is going to be $20. Both are going to be released on November 16th.
Can I make a terrible joke?
Sure.
When you hold the Black Wii Remote, you automatically tilt it to the side.
Oh, wow.
We may have to edit that out.
Oh, oh wow. Lordy.
Yeah. Explicit tag. Oh Lord.
Oh. Oh, that's
I find it interesting that they're bundling this with the Wii Motion Plus. Like, if they keep adding Wii Motion Plus to everything they sell, we're going to end up having more Motion Pluses than we have remotes.
Yeah. Like, I want to buy...
And there'll be all kinds of different
I want to buy Tiger Woods, but I already have two Motion Pluses.
Well, you could buy the game by itself.
That's true. Tiger Woods does come separately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to have bundles where, with the Wii Motion Plus, it's going to cost $10 more. And without, it's going to be $10 less.
That's probably true.
The interesting thing about this black remote is, if I'm not mistaken, I want to say I read this on the forums today, the black remote and the nunchuck comes out the day after New Super Mario Bros. Wii.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, which is interesting.
It is.
You would think they would time it together, but instead they're going to make everyone wait another day or come back to the store again.
Or then again, most people will probably wait until the stores actually get both, and they could just hit two birds with one stone and get both.
You know, another weird thing is there's no black Wii. Why would I have two black Wiimotes but not a black Wii?
Maybe they're waiting for, like, a big game in 2010, like Monster Hunter.
There you go.
To bundle it with.
That's very possible.
Mm-hmm. They did that in Japan. And it sold pretty well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and now in Japan, they're going bundle happy with Wii's and third-party games. Like Samurai Warriors 3 has a bundle with a black Wii. And Tales of Graces has a white Wii bundle.
Hmm.
That Monster Hunter bundle in Japan comes with the Classic Controller Pro, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, the Tales of Graces console bundle actually comes with the white Wii Motion Plus, and the Samurai Warriors 3 console bundle comes with a specialized Samurai Warriors 3 Classic Controller Pro.
Aren't they bringing that to the States, right, the Pro?
I think that's been confirmed.
I really want that.
Yeah, I heard that it's been accidentally confirmed by a Koei fact sheet.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, like, hey, you can also use this with the Classic Controller Pro, even though the Classic Controller and Pro are pretty much the same controller with a different molding.
Well, they have the handles on the bottom.
And they no longer have like how the GameCube controller had the analog shoulder buttons.
Right.
The first Classic controller has it, but the Pro doesn't.
Speaking of the GameCube controller, did you guys see that you can get the newer white GameCube controller with a longer cord on Amazon now?
Yeah.
I kind of want that.
Yeah, it's $30, and
that's a good deal.
Yeah, and it has a 10-foot cord rather than, I think, the normal GameCube ones have a 6-foot cord.
I'm going to wait till it's in stores.
Shortly after I got my Wii, I went out and bought a couple new GameCube controllers from GameStop because they were becoming harder to find new, and I knew they wouldn't last forever, so I wanted to get a couple of first-party ones while I still had the chance.
I just wish you could still buy WaveBirds.
I don't understand why they don't release
I saw
that.
One up here recently. I saw a new one in the box at a used game store.
Oh,
hey,
wow.
If you don't want it, put it on eBay because, man, those things will go for some money right now.
That's probably true.
Yeah. All right. Talking about epic things.
Nice.
The next.
What a segue right there.
Yeah. Epic Mickey was recently confirmed by, I think it was Game Informer.
Yep.
Yeah, it's made by Warren Spector, and he made games like Deus Ex, and in a couple of interviews that Game Informer held with him, he is a really big Disney fanboy and a big fan of the older Disney stuff. And the game is supposed to have, like, older Disney characters. It's supposed to have, like, a darker tone for the game instead of, like, a colorful, wonderful Disney adventure that we all know.
You know, the more I think about this game, the more it strikes me as very well implemented fan fiction. Like you said, he's a big Disney fanboy. This game strikes me as very well implemented fan fiction, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It just the story. You know, we have the story of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. Is that it?
Yeah.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who is Mickey's oldest arch enemy, is jealous of Mickey's success, and he decides he's going to threaten the world by releasing all these forgotten Disney characters. It should be a lot of fun to play, but it really just kind of strikes me as, you know, and I love the story, don't get me wrong, but it just feels like, it feels like this story has already been written by some guy on a forum somewhere. And to be honest, I'm really surprised this game has taken this long to be made. Like a really epic, well-made Journey with Mickey Mouse seems like a no-brainer, and I'm really kind of surprised we haven't seen one sooner than this.
I just looked up Oswald the Lucky Rabbit on Google, and he looks like Mickey with long ears.
Exactly. Yeah, seriously, he does.
Yeah,
excellent.
But from what I know, I think Warren Spector likes to take his time with the games, which is always a good thing. And one of the other lesser-known characters is Phantom Blots, which Mickey actually fought in a short-running comic strip.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm really looking forward to this, and the concept art they put in Game Informer looks really cool. It's sinister but colorful. Like, it's not too dark, but it does have a very sinister feel to it. This is one of my most anticipated titles for 2010.
Yeah. For holiday 2010, definitely. And what really draws it to me, while I'm a fan of Disney, the game doesn't look like a typical Disney title that you would expect, which is just awesome considering it's made by a Disney fanboy.
Phantom Blot looks kind of badass.
Yeah, so you kind of have like a sinister feeling for the characters. And I heard the enemies are sort of like mechanical versions of Goofy and all these other neat things.
Are Sora and Sephiroth going to be in it?
Of course not. There's Square Enix. So, no nobodies.
Darn.
No emotional story that with a convoluted plot.
No Phoenix. Oh, I'm blanking on this now, too.
Phoenix Downs.
Yes, no Phoenix Down. Thank you.
All right. Also, talking about characters, in Tatsunoko vs. Capcom Ultimate All-Stars, we have two new characters, Joe the Condor from G-Force, which is a Tatsunoko property, and Zero from the Mega Man X, and I think you can also count the Mega Man Zero series.
Yeah, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is it the design from the X games or the Zero games?
Well, his character design looks like from the X games, but one of his finishers has his beam sword that sort of turns like into the more triangular shape of swords found in the Zero series.
Okay.
Yeah, which is neat because it kind of throws a nice homage between both.
Yeah. You know what? I read that one of his special attacks is to brood.
Yeah, and if you didn't catch the other two additional characters that was revealed about a month ago, it was Frank West from Dead Rising and Tekkaman Blade from a Tatsunoko property.
Yeah,
like
that Dead Rising character, Frank West. That's interesting. I'll be kind of curious to see how that plays.
Yeah. And actually, let me just look up the ESRB source because it has one really hilarious quote that Frank says. Just give me a second. It says the dialogue may also contain suggestive materials. Example: June, give me the camera back. I told you I deleted the pictures of your underwear. Obviously, since Frank West has a camera, you should know who says it. And Frank West is practically the only character who speaks in English in that game.
Of course.
That's great.
That's hilarious. That reminds me of the, that reminds me of the Naked Gun. Nice beaver.
Or how in the Dead Rising game, one of the shots that you can take are called erotic shots.
Suddenly I feel the urge to play this game.
Too bad you need an Xbox 360 for it.
No, I don't. It's on the Wii, too.
But did the Wii version have any of the photography stuff?
No, it doesn't.
There'll be no erotic shots on the Wii, sorry.
Doggone it.
Censored.
Are you guys pretty excited for Tatsunoko versus Capcom?
Oh, oh yeah. Definitely.
I'm a big Capcom fighting fan. I really enjoy the crossover series, and I was really hoping that when it was Japan only, I really wanted it to come to North America. And once Nintendo Power revealed it, I was really, really happy.
I was looking over the roster for this game, and I don't know anybody. I know Frank West, and I know Beautiful Joe, and I know a couple of the Street Fighter characters, I guess, and that's it. I don't know anybody else in this game.
Even Roll?
Okay, I know Roll. Okay, I know a few. I don't know any of the Tatsunoko characters. I'm not a big anime guy.
Well, and you also have to realize that the Tatsunoko series, it's very unknown in North America, and most of these characters were made in the 70s, 80s, or even early 90s.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so, like, the original Japanese subtitle was, I think it was New Generation of Heroes. So I think you kind of understand how they kind of got it there, reviving the Tatsunoko brand or making it known again.
They probably felt like they had to do something after that Speed Racer movie.
It's a shame that Speed Racer isn't in the game, but then again, what would his finisher be? Just driving in his car and just ramming into them?
Yeah, just like Captain Falcon's smash move.
Or that's a good point.
Speed punch.
Speaking of big punches, I'm terrible with these
segues. These are the best segues in the world.
Exactly.
They're the number one and number three segues in the world.
There we go. Wii Play is the top selling game of this decade, selling over 11 million copies in North America. The number two game is Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, which is somewhere in the 8 million range. And Wii Fit is number three, at almost at 8 million. So are you surprised that Wii Play and Wii Fit are so popular and selling at really astronomical values, I guess?
I'm not surprised about Wii Play, because if you want a Wii Remote, you get Wii Play.
Exactly.
But I am kind of surprised about Wii Fit. I didn't think it had that kind of appeal.
Yeah, and for me, considering the game costs $90, which is sort of prohibitive.
I would be very interested in another number, which is the number of Wii owners that have only bought one title for the Wii, and that title is Wii Fit.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question.
Or, I guess...
How many soccer moms bought a Wii in Wii Fit?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not as many as I'm thinking. Maybe I'm off base on this, but it just seems to me like if you're one of those people that watched it on Oprah or Ellen or daytime television and you saw it, said, hey, that looks like fun, and it's something for little Joey to play when he comes over once a year for Christmas, you know, it just seems to me like there might be a fair number of people that just bought it for Wii Fit, but I don't know.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of an old story of one of my old coworkers who was bragging around the whole office that he recently bought Wii Fit, like it was such a big deal, and he was like, yeah, I'm getting more fit with this game, and it's actually working for me.
Good luck with that, Mom.
Excuse me?
Oh, I said good luck with that, sir, with the getting more fit with Wii Fit.
Well, it does help if you stay into the program, but it's not the end-all, be-all fitness solution.
No, it's something you do on the side.
Yeah, but anyways, there's no real fitness solution in general.
Wii Fit seems more like something you do once you are already fit to stay fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you want to get encouraged to get onto that track.
Well, that stupid little Wii Fit avatar, he's like, get the heck back here.
Yeah.
Where the hell have you been?
If you're just misogynistic and if you want your Wii to yell at you for being fat, it's a no-brainer. It's a $90 purchase day one.
That makes you lose your soul inside.
Like, exactly. If me or my wife haven't been on the Wii Fit in, like, more than a week, and one of us gets on it to do a daily fit test, the little Wii Fit guy's like, where's the other guy? What's going on here?
Or next,
look, you guys spent $90. Take me back to the store.
sooner or later, the Wii balance board will plot with the Wii and self-destruct on a specific cue. Also today, we have two new pieces of news. Miyamoto, he detailed the new Super Mario Brothers demo play, which is controversial in the gaming community because, you have something that plays the game for you. But from what I read, they implemented it very interestingly. The only way that it pops up is if you die more than 8 times, then this little green block will appear. If you hit it, and if you're Mario, you will turn into Luigi, and it will automatically play the game as Luigi for you.
And if you die more than 8 times in the first level, it just says, are you serious?
Yeah.
If you hit the green block on the first level, the disc just ejects.
So. Yeah. Supposedly, you can take control over Luigi at any time, but you will still see something that will let you know that you're still playing like an assisted game. And as a small reward, if you beat the game without using this said feature, you will get like this little trophy at the title screen
that nobody can see but you.
Achievement unlocked.
That does nothing like regular achievements.
Well, I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about it. It's kind of like, it's a Mario game. You know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to buy it? I mean, what non-gamer is going to buy this game? Really? Is the same soccer mom who bought Wii Fit going to pick up Mario now that, I'm going to be able to know how to get through the level? No.
I don't disagree with you, Zach. I think it's a little bit unnecessary, but I don't know that it's for the people that are going to buy the game, because not everyone that buys the game is going to play the game. I think if someone who doesn't normally show interest in Mario games is playing it with their friend who has the game or their son who has the game,
yeah,
and they're stuck and they notice that the game is willing to help them out, that might make them more likely to go buy it.
That's probably true.
It's a stretch. It's a stretch. I think it's well implemented. For what it's worth, I think they put it in the game well. But it just seems a little weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, if you're dying 8 times, you're probably thinking that you're already frustrated with the game and you're on the verge of just saying, screw it, I'm putting this away. So it's sort of like a small guiding hand, which is decent enough.
Well, you guys have played Mario games before. I'm going to go ahead and assume.
Yeah.
Super Mario Brothers 3, the last world on Mario 3, all those slowly moving levels.
Yeah.
The tanks.
I am pretty positive that I died more than 8 times on a fair number of those levels on every playthrough of that game I've ever done.
Well, sure.
Those are some tough levels.
Oh, you mean like even today?
Well, sure. I haven't played Mario 3 all the way through in a number of years, but the levels at the end of any Mario game are really punishing. So 8 times
that's true.
That unimaginable at the tail end of a Mario game. Now, to be honest, I don't remember that being the case with New Super Mario Brothers, and I don't imagine it to be the case with New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, well, I heard that they're actually ramping up the difficulty when compared to New Super Mario Brothers on the DS.
They couldn't lower it.
Well, that is true. Like, it's easy to get 99 lives and everything.
The only hard part is the item system, which is just so botched.
Or probably if you have a really bad co-op player that just screws you over every time.
Yeah, that you know that's my worry going into New Super Mario Brothers, because when we were at E3, I think it was James who was Yoshi, and he was just being a dick, licking people up and then throwing them into pits. I guarantee you that's going to happen to people playing New Super Mario Brothers.
Well, I actually see that happening.
That's problem A, but I think I'm going to be faced with problem B, which I know I've heard Johnny talk about on Radio for Nintendo, which is that I don't have anybody really here that's going to play this game with me. So if they don't make it a good single-player experience, I'm probably not going to enjoy it nearly as much as I should.
Yeah,
well, I heard that they're going to make the single-player game still as satisfying as if it was a multiplayer game, but I'm sure the replay value will basically drop if you don't play it multiplayer.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping I can find someone who's willing to come over here and humor me for an evening, but we'll see.
Yeah, I know my brother will, but I don't have any real friends, so you know.
I can't afford real friends. Are you kidding?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another new game that was announced in Japan was called Poke Park Wii. It's basically an adventure game that you play as Pikachu. You interact with other Pokemon to play these mini games in order to play other mini games. Yeah, it's supposed to come out in December 5 in Japan, but not in North America.
Does this game feel like a parody to anybody else?
A little bit.
Yeah. A mini game of a mini game.
Starring Pokemon. It's got to star Pokemon or it wouldn't be a good parody.
You know, yeah. I will say, though, that the mini games in the Pokemon Stadium games were the best part of those games.
Oh, I agree.
There were some kick-ass games in there, like Count the Pokemon. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's like Count the Voltorbs and a million Pokemon stream across the screen.
You know what I'm kind of reminded of for some reason when I think about this game? Did you ever play Adventures in the Magic Kingdom for NES?
No.
This reminds me of that. It's a game that has levels that are themed like Disneyland rides. And it's not that great, but it does recreate the park pretty effectively. But it's one of the very few games I can think of where the hub world is a theme park.
Huh.
And this kind of I don't think Poke Park is a theme park, but it still kind of reminds me of that.
Would it kill them to make a real Pokemon game for the Wii?
Yes. Yeah, seriously.
Absolutely it would.
It would be a billion. I mean, it's not many, like it wouldn't sell.
Well,
how many times have they been faced with the question, maybe we should develop a real Pokemon game for our home console? And how many times have they decided, not worth it?
Exactly. Pretty much all the time, since it's just a Pokemon Stadium or some kind of weird Pokemon game like Pokemon Snap.
Or that Puzzle Shadow League. Game. Remember
wasn't,
that Shadow
Wasn't
one?
Gale of Darkness?
Yeah, Gale of Darkness.
Right?
It was supposed to be a real Pokemon game, but it ended up being some, like,
watered-down RPG with Pokemon
sort of
Stadium.
Yeah, watered-down RPG. And you capture your opponent's Pokemon. You don't go out and capture real Pokemon.
At this point, we're probably past the point where we can assume they just haven't thought about it yet.
Oh, and no. They were probably thinking about it on the Nintendo 64.
Probably.
Yet somehow they decided it's not a good idea, and I'll never understand why.
That's probably because they just want the kids to buy the portables so they can trade with other kids who have their version of Pokemon with their portable.
It seems like a case of trying not to rock the boat to an extreme degree.
Yeah,
considering how the recent DS Pokemon games had online trading, it would still work well on Wii, since you'll be able to trade online, or hell, just transfer some Pokemon data into your Wii remote, since some games actually let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And trade it that way. But we would probably never see that.
No.
Mm-hmm. Alright, and I guess this is about it. I'm Lucas Belitsky, and along with Zach and Andy, we are signing out.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.